Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ezra tonight, chapter 7, right after the book of 2 Chronicles, Ezra chapter 7, verse 27.
Ezra chapter 7, verse 27 reads this way. It said, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing in this, in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening asking for your blessing and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Again, Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives blessed and drawn closer to you, that we might hear from you, and we'll give you the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "Blessed be the Lord God." Amen. Blessed be the Lord God. And that is a testimony and a witness of God in the life of an individual. What they are saying is, when they say, "Blessed be the Lord God," why would anybody say that? Because God has done something for them. Question, has God done something for you? It started with salvation, didn't it? And it goes from there, and there's so much to experience from the Lord. But I want to just look at this witness of Ezra tonight concerning a witness and a testimony of God, what Ezra knew, and why the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. So those are the three thoughts tonight, three points: a testimony and a witness of God, what Ezra knew, and why the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. So look with me, if you will, again in verse 27, and look at the king's heart. And truly, God holds everything in his hands, does he not? Sometimes we may not think that, but that does not change the fact that God holds everything in his hand. God spoke everything into existence. Isn't that amazing? When you just stop and think about, you look at all these things that God has created. You look at a plant, and you look at the leaf of a plant. I was reminded, my wife was telling the story. We did, Jessica, I don't remember how old she was. And sometimes you can go... A child can go unnoticed when they're having a visual impairment, right? When they're not able to see things clearly. And how old was she about? She was in second grade, and she had her eyes checked out, and we found out she needed glasses. And then on the way home, she was captivated by the leaves on the trees. Before, it just looked like green stuff, and then with glasses on, she could see the actual leaves. And then I was reminded that in biology class, We had the privilege of looking at leaves underneath a microscope, and my goodness, under a microscope, when you amplify the creation of God, it just awes you to a greater extent. And then when you look at these bioscientists that look at things underneath a microscope on all the cells of the body and all the information that's in them and the DNA and all these things that God has created, you truly look back and say, what a creator we have. What a God we serve. And so with that thought, I want you to look at this testimony and witness of God in verse 27. He is saying here, Ezra, the scribe, is saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart." This is a natural king, Artaxerxes, and look what God is doing through his life. Notice this, "to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and notice, hath extended mercy unto me." He's given his testimony of what the king did for him before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I notice this, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. He says, man, it just got better and better. All of a sudden, I asked for leave to go. I told him what he was doing, and then he says, hey, you can go, but not only that, wait a minute. Let me assist you. Let me help you out in this matter. And what he saw was the hand of God. He got permission, and then all of a sudden, God even prepared and made the way. Look at what God does when we look to him and call upon him. He makes sure that not only things come to pass, but every provision that is needed for those things to come to pass takes place, even when it deals with people that may not know the Lord. Now, I hope this king came to know the Lord as his own personal Savior, But nonetheless, he was working on the behalf of Ezra and God's people. So here we have the king's heart. We see an extended mercy here in verse 28. He says, listen, I want you to know that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take the men that you need and go ahead and take care of what you have need to take care of, what the Lord has laid on your heart. So we see this testimony and witness of God from the mouth of Ezra. And I want you to see what Ezra knew. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Did you see that last statement there? Is that an important statement? Listen, he said the king had granted him all his requests. Why? According to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Let me ask you this question. Is it important for the hand of the Lord to be upon your life and mine? It is important. That's what brings things to pass. But not only that, listen, if you consider this, look at verse 28. And it says, and he hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And notice, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. That's the second time he said that, isn't it? The hand of the Lord was upon him. Listen, does God want to put his hand of blessing in your life and mine? Absolutely. Listen, that is our witness. That is our testimony. God moving in and through our lives, not us doing things for God. That's a burden God never intended for you and I to carry. But God's working in your life and mine. If you were to ask Ezra at that time, Ezra, how's the work going for you? Are you doing this by the sweat of your brow? Hey, Ezra, is this all your effort? Ezra, was this all your idea to do this for Israel? And he'd say, oh, no. It was the hand of God in my life. Hey, how about Joseph? Did Potiphar know that it was the blessing of the Lord that was in the life of Joseph that gained him his wealth? That is a testimony. That is the witness of God in the life of the individual that God, that is the light of God. That is the salt of the earth. That is what causes people to say, what a God. Amen? What a creator. And more so, listen, God wants that to be able to be said by every one of his children. Oh, listen, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Let me tell you what God is doing for me. Let me tell you the mercy of God. Let me tell you about the grace and the peace and the joy of God that God has placed in my life and has given me the privilege of just being his light. I don't have to do anything. Listen, did Paul say, oh, listen, let me tell you about what I've done? Is that what Paul would say? Let me tell you, no, he would tell you, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he would tell you everything else that he had considered before to be of any great value. He threw that away. It wasn't worth anything. So what did Ezra know? The hand of the Lord was upon him. And God wants you and I to know also that the hand of God is also upon your life and mine. Let me show you something else here. When we see why the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. Drop down to verse 10. In fact, look at verse 7. We were right there, right after verse 6 there, where it says, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up, verse 7, some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And notice, on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Did you see that? According to the good hand of his God upon him. So what did he do? Listen, what did he do because of the good hand of God upon him? Listen, every child of God will do this. Listen, when the good hand of God is upon us, we want him to do it again. When God touches our life, when God is involved in our life, we want more of his grace in our lives. When we begin to experience the liberating power of God in the life of the believer, we can call upon Him and experience Him every day and every moment of every day if we'll just seek Him. When that takes place, when we realize it's from God, notice what Israel did, and this is why the hand of the Lord was upon him. If you wanted to ever know the recipe for the hand of God to be in your life, here it is. Ready? Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Did you see that? So what did Ezra do? He had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. How do you prepare your heart to seek the Lord? Well, first of all, realize this. Here's how we prepare our heart to seek the Lord. Did you make yourself? No. Did you make your intellect? Did you make your strength? Did you make your abilities? Who made that? Oh, let's just stop and praise God and thank Him and say, listen, right? You've just prepared your heart. You've just stopped and evaluated and then put the cherry on top. Oh, Lord, who am I that you opened up my understanding and allowed me to see the need of my salvation, and that you have provided that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? There the heart is prepared. If we will just stop and think about what we've already been given and give God the praise that is rightly deserved to Him, owed to Him, we are on the right path. And then if we'll just simply understand that God wants to provide every need that we have in our relationship with Him. God is the one that said, follow me. He didn't say, hey, you lead the way and I hope you do well. I hope you fare well. I hope you make it in the end. That's not what God said. God said, follow me. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And no man can take you out of my hand. And if God has freely given us His Son, is there anything that He would withhold from you and I? If He's already given us the best He has, the very best, the blood of His Son in our behalf that we might have eternal life, will God withhold any good thing? Here's where the problem comes. When we think, follow this, when we think we're going to do something for God, and we try to do it and fail. And we try to do it and fail because we love God, just like Peter did. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. Oh, yeah, Peter, you will. And you and I will too. We'll fail the Lord. But when we realize that He wants to bring us to the end of our strength so that we might look to His strength and experience that in our lives, God will give us more than ample reason to praise His holy name. And we might say with Ezra that the Lord my God was upon me according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. That was a testimony. Amen. And then he said, Ezra said, listen, this was a testimony about Ezra in verse 6 at the end there, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. So that's somebody else saying that about Ezra. But then Ezra said, and I was strengthened. And at verse 28, as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. That's how God works in your life and mine. He is the one that does it all. And if we'll call upon Him and approach Him with that understanding, He will be glorified in your life and mine. And we will be able to say, ready? Blessed be the Lord God of my salvation. Amen? A short thought for tonight, but if we will muse and meditate on that and call upon the Lord to help us understand that in a greater way, we will receive the blessings that God has in store for you and I. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege that we have as your children to approach your throne and to call upon you, Lord. And you've promised to answer that you might show us great and mighty things that we haven't even seen yet. And so, Lord, may we realize who we're approaching when we call upon you, that you are truly an infinite God who has created everything and has thoughts that are far greater and higher than ours. We can't even compare your thoughts to ours in the littlest bit. And Lord, may we have that understanding as we call upon you to expect great things, because truly you are a great God and deserving, Lord, of our lives. Bless, Lord, the invitation. Draw us closer to you. Do a work, Lord, in our lives in Northwood Baptist Church, that we might be found faithful by your grace and mercy when we see you face to face. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.